I'm DeWitt Bingham. Welcome to the Justice for All podcast show, where we discuss all things social and criminal justice related, from the front end to the back end, and everything in between. You have a right to remain silent, because anything you say can and will be held against you. You have a right to an attorney. If you cannot afford one, one will be appointed for you. You're in the self-incrimination protection zone, where there is no cruel and unusual punishment, no illegal search and seizure. The exclusionary rule has you covered. So sit back, relax, and become sold on this week's episode.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Justice for All podcast show. I'm DeWitt Bingham, your host. Thank you for tuning in to the show that discusses all things social justice and criminal justice, where the goals are to inform you, the American citizen, of your constitutional rights, to provide educational and occupational guidance to high school and college students, and to be a voice for change. I'm excited about today because we got a little diversity. We got a male and a female. And we are moving right along because we are in week five of the 2023 fall semester at Heartland Community College, and we are studying police oversight. I have two astute young people who are going to enlighten you on what police oversight is. So, without any further ado, I introduce to some and present to others, Mr. Benjamin Gonzalez and Ms. Monet Duvendak. Welcome to the show, Monet and Benjamin.
Hello.
Hello.
The title of today's show is Police Oversight. Segment one, Monet and Benjamin, is for the educational and occupational guidance of high school and college students. We accomplished this by having our guests introduce themselves. So if you would, tell the audience where you were born and raised, what high school you attended, your major or planned major, why you took the class, and give us one career goal. Ladies first, beginning with you, Monet.
All right. I was born and raised right here in Normal, Illinois. I attended Normal West High School, and right now I'm doing the transfer program, so I'm just mostly doing general education, but I plan on majoring in criminal justice for pre-law, and I took this class because it will help me get to know the justice system a little bit better, and it's a good start towards my planned major. One career goal I have is to gain experience by doing two internships. I want to do one in the States, and then I found an opportunity to do one out of the country. So I'd get to learn more about, like, not just our system, but other systems, too.
Wonderful. So your enrollment in this course is really going to benefit you in the long run. Benjamin?
I'm Benjamin Gonzalez. I was born in Greeley, Colorado. I was raised in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois. Attended Normal West, the same as Monet. Plan to major in communications here at Heartland. I enrolled in this class mainly for the credit, but I'm the type of dude who will take something from any class and hopefully apply it to my present and or future. And then one career goal of mine is to become full-time at UPS. So I work there right now as a part-time supervisor and hopefully raise up.
That's wonderful, Benjamin. It's wonderful because I like to tell the story about my good buddy, Doug, who actually... Lanier, yeah. You know Doug?
I do.
Get out of here. Man, love Doug. That brother did an internship at the McLean County Probation Department where I worked for 35 years. That brother was making so much money at UPS, he didn't even go into criminal justice.
Exactly. Yeah, man, he retired the other day, too.
Oh, he did. Yeah, because I think he started working there right out of high school, sort of like you.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful place of employment. And so majoring in communication, definitely things like the podcast will benefit you also in the long run. Would you agree?
I would agree so myself. Yeah.
Wonderful. Oh, man. That's good to hear about Lanier retiring and that.
Yeah. I wish I would have known that earlier. I would have asked him about you.
Okay. If you run into him.
I will.
In the future, just let them know that we had this conversation.
For sure.
All right. Moving on. Segment two. Segment two is to inform the American public of their constitutional rights. Before we ask you to tell us what your favorite constitutional right is and why, let's remind the audience that today's episode is entitled Police Oversight. The first question that I'd like for you to answer is, how would you, in your own words, define police oversight, beginning with you, Benjamin?
I would probably say, you know, just making sure that the police would be held accountable to, you know, perform their duties so that civilians feel safe. And also probably too, in a way that hopefully they would feel safe as well.
All right, Monet.
I would basically say the same thing. I said police oversight refers to monitoring law enforcement and holding them accountable for their action.
Can you give me one example?
Would maybe body cameras?
Excellent. All right. Monet?
I said civilian review boards.
Oh, come on. Y'all been studying. Excellent job. Before I go into asking your favorite constitutional right, oversight can be a place to voice concerns outside the law enforcement agency, help hold officers accountable for their actions, like y'all said, improve the quality of the department's internal investigations of alleged misconduct, reassure that discipline is being imposed when appropriate, increase the transparency of the disciplinary process. Officers, whenever they are accused of something wrong and a process is held and they're found to not be in violation, they can be vindicated. Complaints can be validated, improve the community relations, improve department policies and procedures, save the taxpayers money. It can help officers understand how their words, behaviors, and attitudes unknowingly affect the public perceptions, demonstrate that the police have a desire to eliminate misconduct. And then finally, some cities have police review boards, as so eloquently mentioned by Monet. My question to you is, do you think that police boards should be run by the police departments or totally independent? Beginning with you, Monet.
I think that they should be more independent, because if it's run by the police department, then it's more biased towards like their own officers. And if it's separate, then they can be more unbiased.
Okay. Benjamin?
I'd probably say someone outside of the law enforcement arena, maybe someone who still has some type of criminal justice experience or something.
All right. So having said all that, I want to ask you now to tell me what your favorite constitutional right is and why. Beginning with you, Monet.
My favorite constitutional right is the First Amendment, which protects religion, speech, the press, and the right to assemble and petition. This is my favorite because it protects your basic human rights and it allows you to be yourself without consequence.
That's a great choice. If I had to ask you to select one of the due process rights, which is the 4th, 5th, 6th, 8th, or 14th Amendment, 4th being search and seizure, 5 being self-incrimination, 6 being right to an attorney, 8 being cruel and unusual punishment. Which one would you select?
Probably the right to an attorney.
All right. Yeah. Any specific reason why?
Just because it helps you not to have to fend for yourself in court or have just a low budget attorney or anything. Well, technically it does, but yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good. Benjamin?
I actually said the same thing. I said the Sixth Amendment, mainly because I feel like everyone should have the opportunity at an attorney, even though they may not be what you get if you pay the money for one. You know, it gives everyone a chance to try and prove themselves innocent or lessen their sentence, something like that.
Great. Before we move on to segment three, one last question. In segment two, in your opinion, should anybody be above the law? Beginning with you, Benjamin.
Definitely not. I wouldn't want to commit the same acts as someone who has money or power and I'm the only one held accountable for. So I feel like no one should be. Obviously, there are situations where that could occur and hopefully it doesn't.
Wonderful. Monet?
I agree with that. I think everybody makes mistakes and everybody should be held accountable for those mistakes and not just think that they're perfect because they're held above the law.
Okay. All right. As a probation officer for 35 years, one of the things that I actually had to make sure of was that I never had the attitude that I was better than them. Because one thing that I learned early on is that there's a thin line between being a lawbreaker and a law abider. And the individual that's on the right side of the law can very easily end up on the wrong side of the law. As a matter of fact, my 35-year career, I can name you at least a half dozen people that actually happened to. And so, you know, we don't ever want to think that we are all that to where we cannot end up on the wrong side of the law. Very good. All right, moving on. Segment 3, being a voice for change. As an emerging adult who grew up in a predominantly white America, what say Monet and Benjamin about white supremacy and Black Lives Matter? Beginning with you, Benjamin.
So, I mean, I've never experienced any of this or witnessed it. It's like white supremacy. You know, I know it happens, but I've never seen it. You know, I think we're in a decent area in Bloomington, so that definitely has an impact on it. And then Black Lives Matter. I think that's a very good movement. And because obviously there's been a long history of mistreatment, and hopefully that movement will make more peace than what has already been done. Because I feel like a lot has been done, but obviously there could always be more.
Wonderful. Monet?
I said that I think that the Black Lives Matter movement is a huge movement and has a message that African Americans have been trying to get across for decades. And I believe that along with other people supporting the Black Lives Matter movement, that no one should be superior based on their race or anything. And that white supremacy isn't something that really should have been created in the first place.
Wonderful. Follow-up question for both of you. Benjamin, to you. So would it be safe to say that you identify that white supremacy does exist?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Because one of the things that I try to get my students to understand is that you still have, even though we're no longer, that slavery doesn't exist, Jim Crow doesn't exist, the KKK, I won't say don't exist, but I will say that you still have the three percenters. You still have the Proud Boys. You still have the Oath Keepers. And because we're talking about small minority of people who think that they're better than somebody else. And the question to you, Monet, is that when people say Black Lives Matter, they're not saying that any other race of people don't matter. Would you agree?
Correct. They're not saying that. They're just saying that we matter too, not to bring other people down, just to put that out there too.
All right. Very good. All right. A battery of questions, beginning with the one that I always ask all my guests. What would you like to see the Biden administration accomplish? If you have one thing you could like pull President Biden's coattail, I mean, I know that y'all are superstars and I know y'all probably can do it. That's why I'm asking you, what is one thing, beginning with you, Monet, that you would like to see the Biden administration accomplish?
Something I would like to see the Biden administration accomplish is improving the police system. They could do this by promoting more community policing and increasing accountability measures. Community policing would help more with like things that aren't really that serious that police really shouldn't be responding to. It should be more mental health services or things like that, because people don't always respond well to the police when they show up. And it might be better if somebody else showed up and helped them out instead of just sending them to jail.
Okay. Benjamin?
I would probably try and have like a reform to the education type of system. I feel like, you know, we're one of those nations that has a lot of power in the global sphere. But I also feel like we are lacking in our education. And something I would say is just like maybe changing the curriculum, making it. I don't know how you change it, but I know there's a better way. I'm not a school professional or something like that, as well as like trying to make college more affordable and more accessible to more people.
That's a perfect segue into my next question, which is, beginning with you, Benjamin, should community college be free?
I don't know if it should be free because, like you said earlier, we're the ones paying those taxes. And obviously that.
Well, let me ask you this. Wouldn't you be now, Mr. Bingham will give a few more tax dollars if it's going to go to educating an individual so that they can like come up in the world and they can actually contribute to society, get a good job. According to research, individuals that have jobs are less likely to violate the law than those individuals that don't have jobs. Would you agree?
I would probably agree with that. And actually that makes perfect sense. You're an educator, so you're already investing in kids, maybe young adults, you probably get all ages. So yeah, you want to see the best. And I think that, it'd be worth it because having a good job is always a added bonus to your life for sure.
Okay. All right. Monet?
I said yes, because it would give everyone a chance to actually go to college and not have to worry about the money aspect of it. If they don't have enough to go to college, they don't have to just give up on that idea.
Okay, very good. Should a convicted felon be allowed to be president of the United States? Beginning with you, Monet.
I do not think a convicted felon should be allowed to be president of the United States, because even though they do deserve a voice, they shouldn't have control over the whole country, because they've already broken the law once and we can't really trust them to not do it again and have our best interests in mind if they're not actually respecting the law they're protecting.
Okay. Benjamin?
I would probably say no. The president is such high power. They have such a high level of political area. I don't know how you'd say it, but I'd be scared there'd be a takeover or something. You never know what someone will do with the power they get, especially if, like Monet said, they've already committed a crime. You can't really trust them 100% that they won't do something again.
Okay. All I know, Benjamin, is that I'm just hoping that Putin and Russia, Kim, and old China don't hook up together and come against us, because we got people in Congress that are promoting them. That's all I'm going to say about that. All right. Next question. Monet, you guys say that a convicted felon shouldn't be allowed to be president. What about should a convicted felon be allowed to vote? Beginning with you, Benjamin.
Yes, I do believe a convicted felon should vote. I mean, it should be everyone's right who lives in America as a citizen to at least have some type of voice. I mean, a vote, I think at the end of the day, one vote or a few thousands of votes from a convicted felon really wouldn't change the layout of the whole election.
Okay. Monique?
I think that they should be allowed to vote. Even though they have broken the law already, they still deserve a voice. And it's not really a true democracy if not everyone has a voice.
Okay. All right. Very good. Marijuana. This is always a good one. Marijuana is legal in the state of Illinois. Should marijuana be legal at the federal level?
Yes, definitely. It should be legal. And I said, alcohol is legal. I've definitely seen some people act crazy off of alcohol. And, it's been proven to improve quality of life for some people with different medical conditions. And also alcohol, I feel it's dangerous. If you're an alcohol addict, it's really hard to get off of it, and really decreases your health.
Okay. Monet?
I basically said the exact same thing. I said, I think marijuana should be legalized at the federal level under the same rules as alcohol. Marijuana can't really kill you, and it's actually used to help people with cancer and other types of things. And it's not too dangerous of a drug that it should be really illegal.
All right. Very good. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Police oversight defined. Examples of police oversight. Benefits of police oversight. Important constitutional rights. And how to make America a better place to live. Until next time, keep living your best life. God bless and Godspeed.